Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times 8. I don't know. A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's lock in another edition of Locked On Lions. We plate this dish on a Tuesday, December 20th, into Wednesday, December 21st. Matt Derry with you on the Lions podcast, Locked On Lions, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, whether you are listening on audioboom.com, where this very podcast and this network originates, or on iTunes. Thank you for listening and subscribing. You can hit me up anytime on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, and also on the fan page on Facebook, the Matt Derry fan page on Facebook. I mentioned it yesterday on the podcast, fans freaking out because the Lions' lead is now down to a slim one game over the Green Bay Packers in the division, with Green Bay red hot and Week 17 looming at Ford Field with Aaron Rodgers and everything else. But there are some playoff scenarios, and I got to give credit to prideofdetroit.com and Jeremy Reisman, and they are on Twitter at Pride of Detroit. Check them out. They do a really good Lions blog. I got to give them credit for their playoff scenarios, which I read through today. Now, coming up on the show today, Kyle Meinke will join me from MLive.com. We'll talk to Kyle, the Lions beat writer, about the state of the Lions coming off a loss to the Giants, and what he views as the last two games and where the Lions are going from there, playing in Dallas on Monday night and, of course, New Year's Day at Ford Field against Green Bay. Now, before I go over these scenarios and we talk to Kyle, I want to make something very clear. The Detroit Lions, in my opinion, are still in good shape. I still think they're a better football team than the Green Bay Packers. Now, do the Packers have the playoff experience? Have they been there before? Has Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl? Has Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl? Have they won divisions? Yes. Have any of these players on this Lions team? And yes, Anquan Boldin's won one and everything else, but the core of this team hasn't won anything. And as you guys know, and I don't need to tell you, this franchise hasn't won anything. And always, you know, you're always thinking behind door number one is going to be that chute that sends you down the abyss of another disappointment. I get that. And I read the playoff scenarios today, again on prideofdetroit.com, and I said to myself, none of these things to clinch a playoff spot and to maybe sneak into a wild card if they can't beat the Packers, I don't think anybody should be thinking that at all, because I'm of the opinion if they don't win the division and they get a sixth seed and they make a playoff, it'll be nice to get into a wild card. But I don't see this team, if they were to lose Monday night in Dallas, lose to Green Bay, and they'd still somehow get in at 9-7 as the last wild card, I don't see them having any chance to beat Atlanta or beat Green Bay again or whomever they would have to play in the first round. I just think a three-game losing skid and then having to go on the road would be a nightmare scenario. All right, the best case scenario for the Lions, and again, I want to give credit to prideofdetroit.com because that's who I am. I'm not one that's going to not credit where I got my information from. That's not how I was raised in this business. Full marks to prideofdetroit.com who came up with these scenarios, okay? There are three quick and simple ways the Lions can get into the playoffs this week. All right, number one, the Lions beat the Cowboys and the Vikings beat the Packers. Obviously, the Lions clinched the division. They would win the division they would be up two games with one game to play. They would have 10 wins. Green Bay would stay at 8. It'd be done. And that would be fantastic. All right, that would be awesome, right? The second scenario would be the Lions win, all right, which would get them to 10 wins, okay? And Tampa Bay would lose to the Saints. So the Lions would go into Dallas Monday night and somehow come up with a win over the Cowboys. Then a Tampa Bay loss would eliminate the Bucs. Okay? The Lions would still need a Bucks loss. And again, I'm reading this off of prideofdetroit.com, but for a reason you may not be expecting, the Bucks actually can't catch the Lions if the Lions beat Dallas, because that would clinch the common opponent tiebreaker scenario for the Lions, and Tampa would only be able to match Detroit's 10 wins. Conference record, the first tiebreaker would then be even. Okay, so that Bucks loss would make it impossible for the Falcons to match the Lions 10-6 as a wild card. That is important because the Falcons hold the tiebreaker over Detroit and push them out of an NFC out of a wild card spot. That is, if the Bucks win the NFC South, the Falcons would then be the wild card team and the Lions would be out. So the Lions would win, but Green Bay would still win. But Tampa would lose at New Orleans. And that would get the Lions at least a wild card spot. All right? And then the third way the Lions would get into the playoffs would be if Tampa loses to the Saints, Washington loses to the Bears, and the Falcons beat the Panthers. That way, if the Bucks, Falcons, and Lions all finish 9-7, Tampa Bay would win the division via division record. That means the Lions could be competing with the Falcons for a wild card spot. But a Bucks loss not only caps their win total at 9, but it pushes the tiebreaker in the Lions' favor because the Lions beat the Saints, giving them the common opponent's edge. A Washington loss to the Bears caps their win total at 8. We all saw the Redskins last night struggle, meaning they can't catch the Lions' current win total of 9. Does that make sense to everybody? So the Falcons at the Panthers, they would need to win that game. Washington would lose to the Bears, and the Bucks would lose to the Saints. That would clinch at least a wild card spot for the Lions. However, the Lions still need the Falcons to win in this scenario, because if the Bucks, Falcons, Lions all finish 9-7, Tampa would win the division, and the Falcons would win the wild card, and the Lions would be out. But if the Falcons win this week, Tampa and Washington lose, Atlanta wins the division, and the Lions at least would have a wild card if they can't knock off Green Bay in Week 17. All right? So with common games, Atlanta owns the tiebreaker over Detroit. A Bucks loss plus a Falcons win guarantees the Falcons win the NFC South this weekend. A Washington and Bucks loss make Detroit uncatchable by both teams in the NFC wildcard. Hence, the Lions would clinch a playoff spot. Lions would clinch a playoff spot even if they lost Monday night against Dallas. But the Bucks and Washington both lose, and Atlanta wins. And then that would raise a very interesting question for Jim Caldwell going into Monday night. Would he rest some of his guys, knowing that they already clinched a playoff spot, and that the game would then be meaning that the game would come down to Week 17? That is, if Green Bay won on Sunday against Minnesota. Interesting question to raise. By the way, a lot going on with the Pistons. We know that Stan Van Gundy called him out last night. Said team meeting my ass. That was awesome. All right. You want to know what's going on with the Pistons? Check out Locked On Pistons right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Dan Feldman does a great job with that blog, with that podcast. Check it out. Locked On Pistons on the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, we promised you Kyle Meinke. Let's deliver on that. The Lions beat writer for MLive.com does a whale of a job covering this team. It's been a crazy season, but here they are with two games to go, going to Dallas for Monday Night Football with a chance to win the division, obviously with a win and a Packers loss and everything else we just talked about in those playoff scenarios. Kyle, thanks as always.
Tyler, it's good to be back, Matt.
How you been?
Busy. Coming to playoff contender, the interest ramps up a little bit.
but I'm sure, Kyle, we were kind of talking about it off air before we started here. I mean, the fan base is freaking out. I guess I understand it, but it's not like this team is just going to fold up and curl into a ball here. They played a pretty good football team the other day.
Well, yeah, I mean, 58 years of futility, probably conditioned Lions fans to expect the worst, and I get that, on some level. I mean, we've seen these collapses before, but yeah, I mean, it's what I told you off air. I mean, this is a pretty good football team, and the Giants are pretty good too. And you went on the road, inclement weather with a banged up quarterback. You didn't score an offensive touchdown, and you still were in the game late in the fourth quarter. I mean, and the Giants, they've won 8 out of 9. They're the only team to beat the Cowboys all year. I mean, this is a pretty good team, and there's no shame in losing to a team like that, especially on the road. And the way I look at it is, a team team with that good of a defense is going to have the capability to shut down the Lions' offense. I think that's just the way, and that's where we're at. You know, Stafford's a clutch quarterback, but the offense is average at best. Maybe it's even a little below average in terms of what it can do. And so you face a defense like that, you're going to have problems. When I talked to Stafford after the game, he had said, listen, this is the best secondary we're going to face all year. That's a really good secondary. If you look at that game, forget the finger. I mean, his receivers weren't getting open. The tight ends weren't getting open. There wasn't a lot going on. And so when you face a team like that, the line's going to have problems. But with their defense, they're going to be in any game. And I think they're going to be just fine going forward against teams that don't have a defense like that. And, you know, thankfully for them, the Cowboys and the Panthers, I think are both, you know, more beatable for the Lions.
All right, Kyle, let's go back to the other day. Very difficult to beat that Giants defense. Like you mentioned, Stafford said it, best secondary he's seen, and certainly Landon Collins can make a case for Defensive Player of the Year, and a guy that didn't even get talked about. I watch every week. Jonathan Hankins is really good. They have good players.
Big boy.
Oh, yeah. But, like, no Theo Riddick and no Travis Swanson. Not going to be easy to win without those guys. When are they coming back? What do you think?
Swanson, I really don't know. Concussions can be unpredictable. Some guys come back a day or two later, as Zach Zinner did last week. And some guys miss several weeks. And I think back to Rasheem Mathis a couple of years ago. He had suffered a concussion in a game, and he played. He had gone a couple of days with no symptoms, and all of a sudden, symptoms cropped up from a couple of days before, and he ended up missing 2 or 3, maybe even 4 weeks, and the Lions finally shut him down because he couldn't shake the symptoms. And so I have no idea what Swanson's symptoms are. I have seen him at 2 different practices as a spectator. That's a good sign. He's not too bad off. But he's also gone 2 weeks with symptoms. It's unpredictable. I just don't know. With Riddick, I'm much more optimistic they'll get him back soon. He's missed 2 weeks now with a wrist injury. The sense I get from talking to people is that it's minor. And that there's still real hope that he'll be back at some point in the last 2 games of the season.
So I guess we'll have to check the report, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Minor wrist injury, though. Interesting to miss 2 games because of that. There's no fracture or anything from what you're hearing?
It's not from what I heard, but it's a bizarre injury because I was confused. I asked people in the know about it quite a bit because what happened was he had played a couple weeks ago against the Saints. Didn't look right. I thought it was a leg injury of some kind because he just the lack of explosiveness and all that. He practiced all week after that, but he was limited going into that Saints game. And then after he played in the game, then he started missing practice, and then he's missed the past 2 games. So I was curious why he was limited, then played, then was totally out the last 2 weeks. I just don't have a good sense of what the injury is. I've been told. So there's a reason why he's not on IR, and I think that to mean they expect him back at some point in the regular season, and that's where they're at.
Kyle Meinke with me. MLive.com, Lions beat writer. How much missing Swanson and missing Riddick is hurting this offense, or is there something else you're seeing over this last 4-game stretch where the team's averaging under 20 points a game?
Yeah, well, the real culprit to me is the running game. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they paint a picture, which is a really good quarterback. Decent receivers, especially in Golden Tate, what Anquan Boldin can do in terms of third down and then red zone. But they just have it's a total inability at this point to rush the football. And there are different ways to measure a running game, but any way you look at this running game, it's terrible. It's bottom for the league in terms of yards per attempt, yards per gain. They're last in the league in terms of rushes that don't gain yardage, either 0 yards or negative yardage. Bad. I mean, I believe since week one, there's been one touchdown rushed for by a Lions running back. One. I mean, I think that speaks to their issues they've had lately in the red zone. I mean, as that field shortens, having a running game to bang out a couple of yards when you need it is paramount, and the Lions don't have that reliability at this point. We can hand it to Zach Zinner or Dwayne Washington. I mean, those guys are okay, they show flashes. You know, Dwayne's had a few nice runs, but you take away Washington's first 2 runs last week, Matt, and he didn't have any rushes of longer than 4 yards. He only had 2 that were more than 2 yards. There's just nothing there. And that, to me, is the real issue. That issue goes back to before Swanson come up. So I don't think it's a matter of Glasgow and Swanson. In fact, I talked to people in the Lions organization, and they rave about Brian Glasgow, his ability to go from center to guard, play real well, and then in a matter of a week, go from guard back to center to play that position, which is even more difficult,
right,
at a pretty high level. I mean, that's good stuff from Glasgow. I just don't think that's the issue, but the issue to see is the running game and the line inability at this point to be able to rush the football reliably.
You know, I didn't like the play calling Sunday, and I've been a Jim Bob Cooter supporter, and how can you not be? But I thought they were very predictable the other day, and it seemed like they ran the ball on every first down, and there was a play pass opportunity a couple times there where they didn't do that. I didn't understand why on every, it seemed like every first down it was a run play.
Do you want to guess how many times they passed the ball on first down in the first quarter?
I think I saw your tweet. Wasn't it like 19 for the run? How many for the pass?
They passed the ball zero times in the first quarter on first down against the Giants. I mean, there was a predictability, I think, to your point. I believe for the game it was 11 times overall they rushed the football. And outside those first two carries, the subsequent nine carries on first down combined for 19 yards.
Oh, that's right.
The Lions they're bottom five in the league in terms of rushing the football on first down. On the whole, Matt, that has not been an issue. I looked at the numbers. They actually rushed the ball the second fewest times in the NFL on first down. But in that game, certainly I thought there was an element of predictability to it. We saw over and over again. I think the first five or six first downs, they ran it every time. Those guys were averaging just a couple yards a carry. That put the Lions in a lot of bad positions. And the Giants, with that second, they were able to sit on some of those routes. And second and long, and third and long. I think that's a big reason why we saw zero offensive touchdowns.
Kyle Meinke with me, Matt Derry with you on Locked On Lions here on a Tuesday into a Wednesday. Let me ask you this, Kyle. I said at the start of the podcast here before you came on that I give Pride of Detroit.com a lot of credit. They did the scenarios pretty well with the playoffs and everything else. But if I'm the Lions, the last thing I want to be doing is backing into this thing as a wild card on a three-game slide and then having to go to Atlanta or to New York or to Green Bay, something like that. To me, Lions fans should be wanting this division and winning it that way. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Momentum's a huge thing. And apart from that, if you can win the division, which the Lions very well can. In fact, I consider them the leader still to win the division. If you can do that, you get a home playoff game. And that makes a huge difference in a team like the Lions, which you've had some success on the road, but not reliably, particularly when you have to go outdoors, and that could be an issue if you have to go to Seattle or someplace like that, or New York, as the case may be. Being a game at home at Ford Field, that can be the difference. I believe they're 6-1 at home.
Right.
The home team league. So that's obviously a huge difference in terms of your ability to be able to advance in postseason.
And I do think it would be a win for the franchise to go into year one of Bob Quinn, an uncertain year for Jim Caldwell. Many like myself thinking it's kind of a year of observation. If they look better, maybe go 8-8, 7-9, but look better, then at least it's a step forward, and playoffs would be great. But boy, oh boy, I mean, this thing is there for the taking, and Dallas is very good, and that will be a tough game Monday night, but I think it's still winnable, don't you think?
I absolutely agree, and like I alluded to before, I think Dallas, it's weird to think, but I think Dallas is a better matchup for the Lions than the Giants were. What do the Cowboys do well? They rush the football as well as anyone. That offensive line is terrific, but the Lions are the best tackling team in the league. I think there is a possibility the Lions can have some success against that offense. The Dallas defense isn't nearly what it is in New York, and so I think there'll be more opportunities to move the ball. They really struggled. I just think the Giants are a bad matchup for the way this Lions team is configured, the way they're winning football games these days. I think there is an opportunity for the Lions to go on to Dallas, to get some stops defensively, as we've seen for a couple of months now, and give that offense an opportunity to make some plays and find the end zone.
Is it a slam dunk? And I understand they picked him up off the practice squad of another team, so he has to be out there, one more week. But the Asa Jackson experiment, should that be over soon?
Just a matter of time. He doesn't even have to be active. He just has to be on the roster for 3 weeks. He's got 1 week left of that, and then I think he's probably going to get his walking papers. But I would be surprised if we see much of him on Sunday. He didn't look like he belonged on the field last week, and I hate to trunk a guy, you know, who's new to the franchise, but Lions, they cut Darius Barnes, and they gave him the reins of the nickel spot. They put him out there, and he was the worst guy in the field. And I remember, Matt, I on the first play of the game, I'm not sure if they showed it on TV or not, but on the first, you know, when they started defensively,
right?
The starting defense went out there, and I saw Asa Jackson, number 30, the new guy, go out there, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting, the new guy's getting a start. And then he looks around, left, right, and you can see he's confused, and then he runs back off the field. I mean, the cat didn't know if he was supposed to be on the field or not to start the game, and that's a pretty bad omen, I think, how your day's about to go. And sure enough, he allowed the touchdown at the other end of that series to open the game. There was that 25-yard corner route by Odell Beckham that he gave up. He was the guy with the miscommunication on the second touchdown. I mean, it seemed like any time the Giants had a big play, he was somewhere in the mix near there. That's never a good sign for a cornerback.
But the defense, while it did give up some big plays and certainly had some miscommunication with Jackson and everything else, but the defense is hanging around. But the Darius Slay injury, how big of a factor is that going to be?
Well, it's a big injury because he's a really good player. Looking at the numbers and what he's been able to do over the last month, I mean, you'd be hard pressed, I think, to find a corner who played better football over the last month. He's very good. A couple of big plays here and there, one or two, but yeah, I mean, the 31-yard touchdown a couple weeks ago comes to mind. But overall, Matt, I mean, he's just such a good player, and he's shown in his past he's a guy you can throw on Dez Bryant. I mean, you think back to the playoff game in 2014, he traveled with Dez Bryant in that game. Bryant finished the game with three catches for, you know, some like 25 yards or so. There's no real damage, and none of those catches came with Slay in coverage. I mean, he was outstanding. He shut out Dez Bryant when he was locked out. I mean, he's a guy who's got the ability and the athleticism to stick with Dez Bryant. And so does Devin Lawson have that? I don't think he does. So it changes what you do defensively. I'm not sure how the Lions will attack it. Maybe they'll throw a safety over the top. I don't know. But it changes what you're able to do not having a guy like Slay. But having said that, you know, Johnson Ademosi, I'm going to tip my hat to him because he played well this year when he's been called upon. When Slay went out with the first hamstring injury against Washington and then missed two games, it was Ademosi who went out there. And the Lions had issues, but cornerback play wasn't one of them. He made a number of big plays, played pretty well. And then last week against the Giants, he went out there after Slay went out and played pretty well. In fact, Pro Football Focus ranked him as the fifth best defensive player for the Lions on the day. So, I mean, he's held his own, but at the same time, he's not as athletic as Darius Slay. I think that's a huge concern going into a matchup like the Cowboys and what they have in Dez Bryant.
All right, so let's say for bleeps and giggles here, and I probably could swear it's just a podcast, but I won't. The Lions go into Dallas and lose or whatever, and Cowboys are very good, whatever, and Green Bay wins, and it comes down to Week 17, which it likely will anyway. I know that Mike Florio is kind of leading the band of playing that Packer tune and saying how great they are. Green Bay got torched by Matt Barkley and somebody named Deontay Thompson and Cam Meredith over the weekend. That's the game I think the Lions have a great shot at, because not because Aaron Rodgers, but what's on the other side. What are your thoughts?
I agree. It cracks me up. You know, going to where this where our chat started, fans are, with Lions fans, the sky is falling because they went to New York and lost a football game. Well, the Lions are flawed. We know that their offense isn't perfect. Look at the Packers. They're definitely flawed. I know they got Aaron Rodgers and everything, but you got a cap issue. That defense, I don't know what they're going to do, how they're going to defend Stafford and the Lions' offense. But there are going to be some serious matchup issues for the Packers in that game. They're beatable, especially by a team, I think, like Detroit, that can get some stops. At least now, when these teams first played, this was before this big defensive turnaround for the Lions. They played way back in Week 3. The Packers scored 31 first half points. That game was out of reach pretty quickly. But this is a different team with a different defense. I think they're going to have Terrell Austin. Look at his numbers. He's had some luck playing against Aaron Rodgers, scheming against Aaron Rodgers in his time with Detroit. I just think that's a good matchup for the Lions. When you look at the Packers defense and just how vulnerable they are, especially against the pass. If Matt Barkley can put up those kind of numbers, it's 300 plus last week, I think Matt Stafford might be able to do it too.
Kyle, always a pleasure catching up. Keep up the great work, and hopefully we're talking about a playoff team in a couple of weeks. It'll be a lot of fun.
I think we will, and let's do it again.
You got it. Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
There he is, Kyle Meinke with me from MLive.com. That'll wrap up today's edition of Locked On Lions here on a Tuesday, December 20. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.